Welcome to the Awakening Bible Hour with D.R. Harrison. Our desire is that God would awaken the earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Join us now as D.R. brings this week's message, a nobody that told everybody about somebody that changed his life.
Book of Mark, chapter number 5. Sure is good to be back under the tent tonight. I've been looking forward all weekend to being here. Had more great reports over the weekend of how God moved in the church services on Sunday. And we're just thankful for that. And we're excited to see what God's doing. Now, our big night is August the 2nd. That is our I Choose Life rally. The Perrys are confirmed to be here. Recovering Soldiers will be here. And right now, that is the final night unless God leads otherwise. August the 2nd. So you need to be here every night. Bring people here that are lost and get them under the gospel. And let's see God move in these days together. And let's just do everything God wants us to do. If you found your place, please stand all over the tent. Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. If you found your place, say amen.
Amen.
Thankful for 39 different churches represented tonight, even with the crowd being off. So let's give them a round of applause. Thank you for those that have been faithful to support, and we sure do appreciate it. Verse number 1 of Mark 5 says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, and to the country of the Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there were nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Tonight I want to preach on a nobody that told everybody about somebody that changed his life. A nobody that told everybody about somebody that changed his life. Heavenly Father, now I beg you, Lord, to touch me tonight. I pray, Father, you block out any distractions. I pray, Father, Lord, you turn me loose for just a little bit and give me unction from another world. I pray, Father, Lord, you push back any forces of hell that would make it hard for me to preach tonight. I pray you give liberality under this tent. God, I pray, Lord, if one be here that's lost, you'd speak to their heart tonight. God, give us a little bit of time, Lord, under this tent tonight, to be able to pin our ears back and just preach. And God, may we give you glory tonight and worship you just a little bit. And God, get glory out of our lives. Be with us now, Father, in this third week and moving on to next week. And God, may you fulfill your divine will in our lives. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Our text tonight we find in Mark chapter number 5, verses 1 through 20. About a nobody who told everybody about somebody that changed his life. I can relate to the man in Mark chapter number 5. Many of you sitting here tonight can relate to the man in Mark chapter number 5. We see this man, first of all, and I'm going to get right into the message. This man was a dud to society. This man was a nobody. He wasn't in the upper echelon of the crowd. He didn't get all the fancy invitations to the public dinners. He wasn't visited by the president and the county commissioners and the governors and the mayors. Everybody in town didn't like him. He wasn't popular. He didn't have all the most likes on Facebook. He didn't have most of the followers on Twitter. He didn't have thousands of followers on Instagram. He didn't have people lining up in line to be his friend. He was a nobody from nowhere. And I'm here to tell you what, I can relate to that. I remember when I was a nobody from nowhere, just a lost preacher's kid on my way to hell. But thanks be to God, God didn't leave me there, but he had big plans for my life, and he saved me and he changed me. And if you can relate to that, go on back to the time when you was drowning in your sin, when you was lost without God or a sign, when you were on your way to hell, didn't have no hope, didn't have no peace, but Jesus came by your way. He washed you in his red blood. He took that black heart, he made it whiter than snow, and he made a somebody out of nobody. Honey, I'm thankful for the day I became somebody in the Lord Jesus Christ. I went from a nobody to a somebody in a split second. Somebody help me if you remember when Jesus changed your life. Turn me up, Randy. This man was a dud in society. I can imagine. Go with me in my imagination and your imagination. Up to this man's house. Bible says he hung out in a graveyard. I imagine this place was dark and gloomy, much like society today. Why was it dark and gloomy? Because this man was infested with 6,000 demons. It was a demon-infested country. It was a demon-infested territory. It was a demon-infested man. Much like America is tonight, we're a demon-infested society. We're a demon-infested people. We're a demon-infested country. And I'm here to tell you tonight, it ain't going to take religion to fix it. It ain't going to take you being a good person to fix it. It ain't going to be you putting on some clothes to fix it. You're going to have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only person that can take a black heart and clean it up. We need a manifestation of the Holy Ghost of God. We don't need another preacher. We don't need another church. We don't need another savior. We need the raw power of God to fall on this place. Feel the Lord all of a sudden. He was a dud in society. How many of y'all can relate with me to the time when you was a dud to society? Laying in your own vomit, if you will. I remember laying in my own vomit in the back streets of Nashville. Just a dud to society. I didn't have anybody around me to pick me up. I didn't have anybody around me to encourage me. I didn't have anybody around me to give me any hope. But then Jesus came by my way one day and
when everybody walked out. That's when Jesus came in. When the brethren walked out, Jesus came walking in. When my family walked out, Jesus came walking in. When the church walked out, that's when Jesus came walking in. Thanks be to God for a nobody that told everybody about somebody that changed his life.
This man was a dud to society. Number two, he was depraved in nature. He was filthy. Bible says he lay up there in the tombs and cut himself. He lay up there in the tombs and he'd sleep around with the dead people, if you will. He'd cry out in the middle of the night. I can imagine the Pharisees walking by, looking up there at that boy and saying, boy, I sure wish something happened to him. He's just too annoying. He's just too dirty. I imagine the good Baptists of that day walked by him and wouldn't even give him a hand. They wouldn't give him a gospel tract. They wouldn't go knock on his door, if you will, and tell him about somebody named Jesus. I imagine the good Christians of that day thought he was too dirty, much like most churches in this town. A bus kid's too dirty. A drunk's too dirty. An alcoholic's too dirty. A dope head's too dirty. They smell too bad. They look too bad. They talk too dirty. But my friend, there was one man named Jesus. It didn't matter how dirty he was. It didn't matter how bad he smelled. It didn't matter how many joints he smoked. It didn't matter how many demons was in it. It was Jesus' time. He came to seek and save that which was lost. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God for a man named Jesus Christ. In nature. I may remember when you had an old dirty black heart and a sinful mind and a perverted character. But Jesus didn't look at that. He took you just as you are, just as I am, without one plea. Hallelujah. Or a nobody that told everybody about this man named Jesus. Depraved in nature. All those people ain't back tonight because they got mad at my preaching last week. They're missing it tonight. He was depraved in nature. We were all born with this same nature. You may have never slept among the graveyard. You may have never cut yourself with all these knives, and you may have never had 6,000 demons in you. You may just be a good religious person that wears a dress down to your ankles and goes to church 75 times a week. But it took just as much grace to save you, honey, as it took that demon-possessed man in Mark chapter 5. So before you look down your long pharisaical nose at somebody like that, honey, if it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd be in the grave. You'd be cutting yourself. You'd be full of demons. You'd be smoking a joint. You'd be sleeping around here. You'd be drunk as a skunk tonight. It's because the power of a living God saved you and changed you by His marvelous grace. I've had it up to here with Pharisees. You hear me, Billy Ray? Had it up to here, Pharisees. We carry around a King James Bible and got a three-piece suit on, and we walk up in here like we're God's gift to eternity. And my friend, what we need is a good dose of humbling. Hey, that man of the Gadarenes deserved to go to hell, just like you deserve to go to hell. But thanks be to God, God looked at him the same way He looked at me, just a sinner, just an old dirty sinner, needing the blood of His darling Son, and He freely gave it for me, and He gave it for you. Man was depraved in nature. See, I remember where I was
when Jesus found me. Just an old drunk. Just an old dope head. My wife was a stripper. We were crying out for help. There wasn't nobody there to help us though. The brethren wrote us off. They had already decided D.R. and Laura's too far gone to be saved. But Jesus was pacing us the whole time. Here's how the brethren knew. Here's Nick. He's demon possessed, dope smoking hippie, just an alcoholic, pervert, womanizer. And the brethren look at him and say, it'll mess up our character. That'll hurt my reputation. That'll hurt what the brethren think of me. If I associate with that, they're not going to stand in line to be my friend. But Jesus, however, here's Jesus walked that way. When the brethren's walking out, Jesus is just pacing him. Jesus is just pacing him. Jesus is just pacing him. He's walking right along with him. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost now. He's just pacing him. He's just waiting for that moment for him to hit rock bottom so he can help him. All he's doing is waiting for him to hit rock bottom so he can help him. You know what we need to do in Rogersville tonight? You need to find you a good sinner, just the deepest, darkest, most wicked sinner in this town, and walk up to him and say, guess what? I love you and Jesus loves you. Yeah, but you don't know what I've done. Oh, it don't matter. Jesus loves you just the same, and I love you too. Hey, you fill this tent up with a bunch of whores and a bunch of hell kids and a bunch of dope heads. I'll preach to him Jesus every time, because that's the one that Jesus came to save. Feels pretty good under here tonight. He was depraved in nature, but he was also a danger to himself. You say, give me Bible. Bible says, verse 4, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, chains had been plucked asunder by him, the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. This man was a danger to himself. Do you know that every sinner on these streets of Rogersville is just one OD away from hell? They're one party away from hell. They're one joint away from hell. They're one shot of fireball away from hell. And they don't need some spiritual Pharisee going up in there and telling how bad they are. They need somebody to love them like Jesus loved them. Amen. You can't clean a fish before you catch them. We want to fill our churches with a bunch of fish that are clean, but they've never been regenerated on the inside. So eventually they may look good on the outside, but it doesn't take long, honey. The inside comes out and it defiles the outside, and they go right back to what they've done. One thing God's burned in my heart the last 6 months, we don't need an altar full of professions of people signing a card and then going back living like hell. We need some men of the Gadareans that have an encounter with Jesus Christ, that when they get up, they're clothed and sitting and in their right mind. We go around boasting we had 55,000 saved and half of them ain't in church the next Sunday. We're raising a bunch of bastard children that's never been born again. I'm just going to preach now. Get an emotional tickle. They come in, they sign a card. We raise a hand. We get on Facebook and we blow it up everywhere so men look at us and glorify us and look at what we did and what we're doing. And they go right back out the same way they came. That's because they had an encounter with an evangelist, not an encounter with the Holy God. But my friend, when you have an encounter with the Holy God, He'll change you. He'll save you. And honey, it'll stick. He was a danger to himself. Number four. He was dirty to the Pharisees. Uh-oh. So get quiet here. All these people down in verses 12 through 20, they knew about this man. They knew exactly where he lived. They knew how filthy he was. Knew how dirty he was. They knew the condition he was in. But not a one of them ever lent a hand to him. How many of y'all sitting under here hasn't bothered one second over the last 2 days to invite one of your hellacious friends or your people you know that are filthy and on their way to hell to come to this dinner? It's quiet. Pharisees walked by him every day, mother. They saw him up there naked. They saw him up there being a danger to himself. They saw him out there crying out for help. They heard him up there in his craziness and his filthiness. But not a one ever lifted a hand to tell him that there was hope. To tell him that there was something on the other side better than what he was experiencing. They never once handed him anything. They never once prayed for him. They never once went and talked to him. They never did any of that. Why? Because they became so high on themselves, they forgot about others. God help us tonight not to get so above everybody. We forget the ones that need Jesus. Hey, I need Jesus still. I need grace still. Every day of my life, I need the grace of an almighty God. God help us tonight to give out what God's given us. Number five, he was desperate for help. And always, night and day, 24 hours a day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying. He was desperate for help. This man of the Gadarenes, imagine with me. Here's a naked man in a country graveyard. He's filthy. He stinks. They've already tried to bind him, Mike Brown, and he was able to bust off all those chains. Here he is with rocks sharpened, and he's over there carving images out in his hand, carving them out in his legs, carving them out in his arms. Reminds me of a girl under the Burlington tent, the first Burlington revival. I was sitting where my dad was sitting, and there was a girl where Mike Brown was sitting in that tent, and she got up and walked down the center aisle, and she had a tank top on and short shorts on. And when she got about halfway, her legs looked like they'd been in a meat grinder. Her arms looked like they'd been in a meat grinder. She got down right here. Right around, about right here. And the evangelist under the tent went down and started praying with her. And as he went down, he called some of us over and we went over and started praying. And her question was, can this God keep me from cutting myself? We began to tell her what Jesus did for us. Tears started flowing out of her eyes. She began to weep. And we sat there and watched her call out on God. And God changed her life. And today, she's singing in the choir. She's gotten married to a godly man. She's serving God. Yes, she has the scars that was on her. But she never has to do that again. Why? Because she met Jesus. And somebody cared enough about her to give her the gospel. That's all this county needs. This county don't need any arguing. This county don't need no fighting. This county don't need your opinion. And this county don't need my opinion. This county needs a good dose of Jesus. And if they get a good dose of Jesus, he'll make everything right. Hallelujah. We need somebody to go tell everybody about this man named Jesus. He was desperate for help. How many people in Rogersville you think is really desperate for help? Probably more than all of us can count. Just because they're drunk doesn't mean they don't want nothing to do with God. They just need somebody to show them how to get a hold of God. They need an experience with God. Just because that guy down the street's shooting up heroin tonight doesn't mean he's gone too far that God can't change him. They ain't nobody too far that God can't change him unless they blaspheme the Holy Spirit. That's right. That's the only sin that's unforgivable. Blaspheming the Holy Spirit. But as long as you ain't done that, and the fact you're breathing, you're sitting under this tent, that means you ain't done it. So if you want God, God will give you help. And you come to the right place, honey, to get some help. These old-fashioned altars, they have your name on it. And all you got to do is cry out like the men of the Gadareans. And as soon as you cry out, there'll be somebody coming off in the distance. You won't be able to see them with your physical eyes. But all of a sudden, your spiritual eyes are open. That blindness will come off. You'll see Jesus Christ for who He is. And He'll change you just as you are. He was desperate for help. So now we're on this journey. Now we're up there in the tombs with this man of the Gadareans. He's cussing, taking God's name in vain. Nobody there to help him. Breaking chains off, cutting himself. Probably shooting up dope, drinking liquor. Probably got naked posters all over his cave. Women. Probably got every sexual disease you can think of. Most of us would have done like everybody else did. Walked right on by. Do you love sinners the way Jesus loves them? Do they have to look like you? Smell like you? Do what you do? Or would you be found sitting beside a sinner that maybe had no clothes? Maybe had cut marks all on him. Maybe right before you walked up, he took God's name in vain. Maybe he had liquor on his breath. Maybe he's got a joint in his hand. But could you walk up beside him and put your arm around him and say, let me tell you about somebody that changed my life. You take me to a church that's full of dope heads, drunks, and alcoholics and perverts that's been born again. I'll take you to a church you'll never have a problem before. Amen. Hallelujah. Only the Pharisees give you trouble.
That's right.
That's right. Yes, sir. You know what the biggest hindrance of this meeting is? Pharisees. A whole lot of nobodies has never met the somebody that can change them. Amen. Amen. That's good preaching. You can tell them all I said so. He was desperate for help. Nobody would give it to him. But we see, number six, his direct encounter with life. But as bad as it was, as big of a nobody as he was, as hopeless as it seemed, in the condition he was in, God had a plan. Jesus came all the way across that sea for that one man. He didn't come there for the Pharisees. He didn't come there for the religious crowd. He didn't come there to try to convince them he was right. He didn't try to come there to convince him that he was God. He came there for one man that was dirty, that was crazy, that was demon infested, that everybody had written off, and he had a plan for that man, and his plan was to change him so he could go tell everybody about somebody that could change their lives too. He had a direct encounter with life. But when he saw Jesus. I could preach here for a long time. When this demon-infested man saw Jesus, he knew something was different. When sinners see you, do they think you're different? Or do they look like they're looking in a mirror at a reflection of themselves?
Bless him, Lord.
See, the reality is, in 2019, we have a whole lot of people that look so much like the world. The world don't want nothing we got because they think we're just like they are. See, that man was crying out for help, and he saw he wasn't getting it from none of his neighbors. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he went to him and worshiped him.
People have different philosophies on this. Some people say that was the demons talking, and maybe it was, but I'm applying it to this tonight. Jesus was so different that even a long ways off, a man infested with 6,000 demons could look upon that man out of all the people he had seen, out of all the people that passed by, out of all the people in his country. He saw somebody afar off and knew there was something different about it. You want your town? Don't want what you got? Need to look different. If you look like you're demon infested, good chance you probably are. We're going to get on down here in a minute. After he had a direct encounter with life, Bible says he was sitting clothed in his right mind. He didn't want to be naked no more. He was in his right mind. He wasn't cussing no more. He wasn't screaming no more. He wasn't taking a knife and cutting himself up no more. Because he had met Jesus. Jesus changed his life. Now he's clothed and in his right mind. He was desperate for help. This man had a direct encounter with life. We try to give people everything in the world under the sun today. But the one thing that can give them life, that's Jesus Christ. I'm working on a message. I'm praying that God lets me preach it in this meeting. But it's found in Song of Solomon, chapter number 6. It talks about 60 queens and 40 concubines and virgins without number. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. There's a whole lot of harlot churches out there. But there's only one true church. There's a whole lot of people out there that are wearing the cloak of righteousness. But they have no Christ on the inside. Having the outside right doesn't mean the inside is right. This man saw a lot of people that walked by that had their clothes on. But when he saw Jesus, he knew that was the man that could help him and the problem he had. He had a direct encounter with life. I remember when I had a direct encounter with life. It was just me and God. My daddy wasn't around. Some of you may get tired of hearing this, but if I ever get tired of telling my story, I want God to take me out of here. My daddy wasn't around. My mama wasn't around. It's just me and God. And a black leather sofa. That sofa I was sitting on, I had a whole lot of sin committed on it. That sofa I was sitting on, a whole lot of dirty deeds had been done on that sofa. A whole lot of liquor had been drunk. A whole lot of pot had been smoked. A whole lot of strange women had been on that couch. But the same couch I did all those dirty deeds on is the same couch God visited me on. And he didn't come in and say, "Dr., get off that couch. Boy, I can't do nothing with you while you're sitting on it. Dr., go in there to that refrigerator and get all that liquor out and that beer out, pour it out. Then we'll talk. Dr., go to your car and get that marijuana out of it because I can't deal with you there until that's gone. Dr., get those porn mags out from under the seat of your truck. You can't have those and me deal with you." But he came right up on that couch, the very place I had committed all those sins at, and he sat right down beside of me, and he never brought up one of them. He put his arm around me. I was sitting there. I wasn't in my right mind. I wasn't clothed. I was filthy and dirty and a heathen. And he said, "I love you. I'll take you just as you are." And that moment, he saved me just as I am. Jesus went to where?
where that old demon-possessed man lived. And he took something with him. And it's the same thing people are crying out for today. Hope. The same thing people are crying out for, Mother. They're crying out for hope. We can't even get unified for 2 weeks without people getting their panties in a wad. And all God is trying to say, I've got hope for people. I've got hope for you. It ain't about me. It ain't about you. It's about the hope found in Jesus Christ. Jesus brought. What God thinks of us, Billy Ray. He sent a tent to your town. Of all the thousands of cities he could have put it, he gave me peace to put it here. And we can't get over our differences long enough to tell this town about the hope found in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I ain't here to steal your church members. I don't want church hoppers. If you hop to my church, it won't be long. You'll hop to somebody else's church. You get a dose of Jesus, you'll plant your butt there where you belong, and you'll serve the Lord where He planted you at. You won't have to be pride. You won't have to be pegged. What are you saying? We need Jesus Christ to give us what we always need, and that's hope, 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 hope. He's the answer tonight. Jesus walked up to this man that was desperate for help. He didn't ask him if he's Baptist. Didn't ask him if he's Methodist. Didn't ask him if he's Catholic, Nazarene, or anything else. But he walked up to Jesus and looked at the conversation. He saw Jesus afar off and he ran and he worshiped him. Percy Ray said even a lost man ought to raise his hand and give God glory just because God lets him breathe his air. If you're here lost tonight, you ought to just thank God that He's letting you breathe tonight.
Yes.
This demon-possessed man with 6,000 demons in it with him started worshiping Jesus. He cried with a loud voice, said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." The Bible says, Jesus looked at him and said, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." The demon was legion. 6,000 demons in him. I know some people that's demon possessed. I do. But they're not any match for Jesus. Jesus can take that. He can take your family. He can take your dad, your mom, your sisters, your uncles, your co-workers. And in just one word, He can say, "Come out." Demons started saying, saw Him much that He would not send them away out of the country. There's a bunch of pigs over there feeding on the side of the mountain. The devil said, "Send us into that swine that we may enter into them." Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out, entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. It's 2,000. They were choked in the sea. They that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. They went out to see what it was that was done. Now listen. To me, this is a perfect example and a perfect opportunity. And it was a perfect setup for this country here to see revival.
Listen. Oh, my goodness gracious.
The dirtiest man in town had just got born again. The man that was a nuisance to everybody around him had just got changed. Word was spreading quickly. This man was different. Not only was it
by word of mouth that he had changed, but now people started seeing him, clothed, sitting, and in his right mind. The ones that were feeding the swine and saw the pigs go into the sea, they went to see what it was done. They came to Jesus, and that man that was possessed with the devil had a legion. They saw him sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. They that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Listen. These Pharisees, these religious folk, these people in the mountains and around the mountains that saw this dirty man, they saw him changed by the power of Jesus Christ. Everything was lining up to have a revival. Everything was lining up to have a spirit-filled revival. Everything was lining up for the power of God to change this town. But they got afraid and they wanted Jesus to leave town. You know why? Because losing the 2,000 swine meant more to them than seeing people changed. Listen now. We're living in a day. There's a tent in town. There's 81 acres here that's been opened up for a tent revival. There's people that have sacrificed and given their time, their finances, their health to make sure this thing goes the way God's wanting it to go. But there's still people in this town that are praying that this town, this tent will leave town because it's going to interfere with the things they have in their life. The very person they were wanting to die is the very person Jesus came and changed. Now, 2,000 pigs meant more to them than seeing their community change. What's more important to you than seeing revival in your town?
Good preaching. Help me, Lord. Should be nothing.
Your work? Sally's soccer game? Johnny's T-ball was quiet. Revival didn't take place here. It never happened here. I can't think of a better setup in the Word of God where there could have been a really big move of God. It started out with a bang. Jesus showed up. And the worst sinner in town got born again. After that, it went south. All because Jesus messed with their pigs. You know what's happened the last 2 weeks? This lost preacher's kid that God saved has come into your town and messed with your pigs. And you're praying for the day that I leave this town. So you can go back to feeding with the swine. That's where we are, Mother. We're messing with people's pigs. We're messing with the pig of bitterness. We're messing with the pig of anger. We're messing with the pig of apathy. We're messing with the pig of carnal living. We're messing with the pig of sin. We're messing with the pig of gossip. We're messing with the pig of your apathetic nature. And now you're saying, I don't care if anybody gets saved. I want my pigs back. You're messing with our pigs, D.R. Our town was comfortable before you came. Some lady posted on Facebook she ain't coming back because she felt convicted the other night. Well, God bless your heart. That's why I'm here to preach the hell out of you so we can see revival. If
you expected Joel Osteen to walk up in here and smile real pretty and show you my white teeth and tickle your ears, honey, you came to the wrong place. We've had enough of that. We need a leper like preacher with a backbone like a sawmill that'll come in and preach hell hard and sin is wrong and get the devil preached out of our lives. Billy Ray, we got a bunch of people wanting their ears tickled. Jesus came in the town, and all he did was change a man that needed him. Yeah. And he messed with their stuff. Yeah. He messed with their comfortability.
Right.
He messed with their finances, if you will. And they wanted him gone. I'm going to make this statement. I stand behind it. If you wash this opportunity away, you'll die in your church a spiritual slow death.
That's true.
You will. I'm just the messenger. I'm just delivering the mail, Randy. That's all I'm doing. Don't dispute me. Disprove me. I stand on everything I preach. Don't get up and argue with me. Get your Bible and prove me wrong. But you can't. I was always taught if you throw a rock at a pack of dogs, the one that barks first is the one that got hit. Got a whole lot of dogs barking because they get hit with rocks. And I told somebody the other day, Daddy, this is the truth. We ain't even seen conviction yet. Conviction from 100 years ago, this bunch couldn't take it. It's been so long since they felt it. The Holy Ghost talked to them. All he's doing is just pricking their heart. Oh my God, I felt conviction. They get a little thump and they about die because of a little thump. You let the Holy Ghost of God get under here to where sinners feel like they're dangling over the flames of hell and they've fallen out in the seats under Holy Ghost conviction. Honey, you'll get right with God. You won't have time to tell Jesus to leave. That's what we need. Old time, Holy Ghost, heaven shift, hell shaking, conviction upon us.
That's good,
brother. Hallelujah. Get a direct encounter with life. Jesus changed it.
Amen.
Then we see, this is a good one. We see after he had a direct encounter with life, he was determined then to share what happened with him. He was a nobody. Determined to tell everybody about somebody that had just changed his life. Listen now. You'll not find one person in the Word of God that Jesus didn't touch, heal, change, then go tell somebody about it. Ain't there. Find it. So I have a problem with somebody that says they're saved and they've never wanted to tell nobody else about what Jesus did. When I got saved, it was not 5 minutes. I had my dad and mom on the phone. Why? I had to tell them. I called another preacher right after I called them because I had to tell him. Posted on Facebook because I had to tell everybody what Jesus did for me. My wife was at a strip club when I got saved. I had to get her out of there and get her home so I could tell her what Jesus did for me. And for 4 hours that night, she laid on my lap and I just kept telling her, Jesus loves you. Now, I can say this because I think I'm right. I really don't think he and my mother believed I got the goods until the Sunday I showed up at their church. Skeptical. I believe it. But I know the moment that God confirmed in his heart that I had just met somebody. Changed my life. I walked in that church on Sunday night. I hugged my daddy. all those prayers that went up for me. And I hugged my mama. And for the first time, I realized we'll never, ever have to say goodbye to one another. So for 38 months, all I've been doing is telling everybody that I'm just a nobody who met somebody. And I want to tell you about how he changed my life. I don't know nothing about this Bible. There's a lot in it I don't understand. But all I know is on May the 19th, I was lost. May the 20th, I was found. May the 19th, I was dead. May the 19th, I was alive. May the 19th, I was blind. May the 20th, I could see clearer than I've ever seen before in my life. May the 19th, I was hellbound with the hammer down. But May 20th, I was heavenbound with the hammer down. And all I know is that I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody that changed my life, and that same somebody can change your life. Could your town go to hell because you're too willing to fight with the preacher other than tell somebody about Jesus? It ain't done your way. The T's ain't being crossed the way I'd cross them. Those I's ain't being dotted the way I'd dot them. I don't like what he preached. I don't like what he said. And all around you's a town dying and going to hell that's trying for somebody to come help them. I can't even preach to the lost, because God's people are so far away from it. Until God's people get right, you can't help nobody. It's an embarrassment of today's society for today's Christian to even tell anybody about Jesus. They're so far from God. I wouldn't want your Jesus if I was lost. The way we treat him, the way we act, our attitudes, our pride, our arrogance, our gossip and backbiting. The world don't want what we got. That's why they think this is a circus tent on the side of the road with a bunch of clowns underneath it. Because they've seen how we are out in the world, and they don't want what we got. But when Jesus came across that sea, that demon-possessed man saw him afar off. He knew there was something different about him, and Jesus had something for him that would change his life. God, help us to get God all over us to where people want what we have. All they see is a bunch of fussing and fighting and bickering and division. God is not the author of confusion. He blesses unity. And not until we unify thoroughly is God going to send a Holy Ghost revival. This man was just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody that changed his life. Bible says he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. You'd be amazed what would happen if people quit making things about themselves and about him. People would marvel with what you had to say. Quit making it about you. It ain't about you or your feelings. It's about Jesus. If we ever get to making everything about him, men will want what you got. And then, and only then, will we start seeing sinners converted and changed. A nobody telling everybody about somebody changed his life.
If you do not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, please visit VOHministries.org to see how you can be forgiven of your sins and know that heaven is your eternal home. Also, be sure to check out our library of books, including DR's personal testimony, From a Bar to a Burden. Make any donation to Voice of Hope Ministries, and you will receive this week's complete message free. Until next time, this has been the Awakening Bible Hour.